On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, Carolina football secures a historic commitment from Nicholas Harbor. It's Groundhog Day again with men's basketball, and the women look to keep things rolling and prepare for a huge weekend matchup. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 128 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and I hope y'all out there had a great week. I hope you kicked this week's ass and are ready to reward yourself this weekend, watching some sports, having some cold drinks, rocking Carolina gear, whatever you got to do. It was a big, big week for South Carolina Gamecock country. I'm repping my gear. How am I supposed to go to a work meeting and not talk about the things that are going on in South Carolina athletics? Don't these people know I have a life? People would argue that I don't have a life, but I do. And it's South Carolina athletics. I'm not supposed to talk about account management. Supposed to talk about your clients? No. I want to talk about South Carolina football and everything that's going on. I want to talk about South Carolina women's basketball and everything that's going on. So that's why I'm here with y'all. If you can't tell, I am excited for this episode because it really was a huge week in Gamecock country. Gonna start with reviewing the news from this week and then jump into both men's and women's basketball, but there really was no other sports scores to report from the midweek. So the big news came from Wednesday, which will forever be known as Nicholas Harbor Day. Happy Harbor Day, everybody. Not to be confused with Arbor Day, Harbor Day. South Carolina football securing the commitment from Nicholas Harbor. Oh my God. Now, for those of y'all who are not familiar, I'm sure you've been brought up to speed by now, as it has made headlines nationally, but Harbor is the number one athlete and the number 19 overall player in the class of 2023. He has been a target for South Carolina for a very long time. Now, I know I say I don't talk about, like, recruiting a lot on this show where, like, who are we targeting, who's visiting, things like that. I don't talk about it on the show, but I do follow it pretty closely just to keep tabs on the team, and I'm a news junkie when it comes to sports. Like, I have known about Nicholas Harbor for, like, 2 years. I've heard of this kid, heard about where he's going, heard about his freak athlete ability. And his recruitment came down to the absolute wire. Oregon was making a strong push. Maryland, he's from Maryland, they were making a push. LOL, that joke of a program. But he ended up announcing on what is the traditional signing day on ESPN. So a nationally televised announcement. And he chooses South Carolina. And it's just beyond exciting. And I don't even know what the right word is. It's just exciting, and it's great for us as fans. It's great for this football program, great for the young man in Nick Harbor. And, I mean, to say he is a freak athlete is the understatement of the year. He is 6'6", 225 pounds. And if being that big on the football field wasn't enough, he's also a bona fide track star. He's going to run track for South Carolina. He's going to be a two-sport athlete. But not just that. you very well might see this kid in the Olympics. He is no joke, a legitimate chance to make the Olympic team. Like, he has gold medal aspirations. So I'm going to say that again. He's 6'6", 225 pounds, and is fast enough to try and make the Olympic team as a sprinter. That's video game stuff. That's stuff, that's a person you make as a cheat code. And on top of it all, he wants to become a doctor. I mean, is this just not like an amazing just human being? Seems like a nice guy. Seemed very likable on camera. Seems confident. Very, very cool. I mean, there's even a freaking USA Today article about him. They said he makes his own category as a player. So before he even announced, USA Today was writing articles about him. He's taller than Randy Moss, and his current personal best of a 100-meter dash is only 0.03 seconds slower than Tyreek Hill's in high school. Harbor himself has said that he can bring game-changing ability, just like Calvin Johnson, only he's faster. He's basically as fast as Tyreek Hill was in high school. And he's taller than Randy Moss. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this is not real life. And this guy chose to come to South Carolina. He was recently clocked as running 23 miles an hour. 23 miles an hour. Even if you offered me free Bojangles, I can't run that fast. So right now, you know, looking at where he's going to play on the football field, the plan is to have him play, really, it feels like, and what we've heard from Beamer, as more of a wide receiver, but he's going to be lined up at tight end at times, but it just doesn't matter to me, right? Just put him on the field. He's a guaranteed nightmare matchup, and you just got to let him play, right? He's big and strong enough to line up as a tight end. But Beamer said it in a press conference that he doesn't need to be spending half of his time with a hand in the dirt blocking linebackers and defensive ends. He needs to be getting the ball and running routes and scoring touchdowns. But, I mean, really, his commitment has sent shockwaves through the entire college football world. I mean, we've been excited about this 2023 class that Beamer put together, and we've already gotten excited about the 2024 class as well. But this is the type of commitment that is turning heads, right? Harbor is a five-star athlete. He's already the seventh highest-rated player in South Carolina history. That's ahead of Stephon Gilmore. But I was thinking about it, and this is not a case where, you know, he was this big-time five-star player and was the best player in South Carolina or North Carolina, right? Clowney, Birch, Lattimore, those types of guys were from South Carolina. And as a result, USC living up to its billing as the premier university in the state, and if you want to build a program, you have to keep the elite talent in your state home, was able to secure those commitments from those guys, right? Like, I don't want to say the word obligatory, but it's just something that you have to do if you're USC, right? Like, you better keep Jadeveon Clowney, Marcus Lattimore. Harbor is not from here. He's from Maryland, right? From the DC area. So his recruitment is a result of the incredible work from Shane Beamer and his staff making inroads in the DMV area. And this was just truly a team effort because, of course, you have Beamer leading the charge and everything. But you had Sterling Lucas really leading this recruitment because he was originally being recruited as a defensive edge, an edge rusher. Then you had Jody Wright come in as well, because he might play tight end. Then you have Dowell Loggins come in because, oh, you're going to be featured everywhere. So this is a huge moment for South Carolina because it also shows that the reach of USC goes much further than the Southeast. And it's just a continuation of the job of Shane Beamer to change the perception of South Carolina football, right? I've talked about that before, that part of his job is to do that. And when you land the number one athlete in a recruiting class, that's going to make some waves. But when you go up and you steal him from Big Ten country, and you had Oregon vying for him too, he's a track star, right? We have a good track program at USC, but I mean, that's Oregon. That's Nike. South Carolina just beat out Nike, right? I mean, his recruitment means that this 2023 class will finish with an average composite rating of 89.77. If you can tell me what that means, great. Basically, it means a high four-star average player. But it's the highest average composite ranking for Carolina ever. This is a special class, and one that we very well might look back at one day and say, that class changed everything. It's super, super fun to see. All these guys, they look super close to one another. Like, they were tweeting like crazy, telling Nick to come home. Beamer talked about how he was a little nervous towards the end of the recruitment leading up to the decision, and he was talking to guys like Pup Howard and Tree, and they were saying, nah, we just texted with them. We got off the phone with them. We're all good. He's coming home. That's how close these guys are. That's a team. That's a special class. And you know that these guys want to continue the good vibes that this program had at the end of the year. But you know that they were watching and they said, you know what? We can be even better, right? We don't have to stumble against a Mizzou or a Florida. We can be better than that. So it's just crazy. I mean, South Carolina recruiting is as hot as we've ever seen, really, in my opinion. And this program has as much momentum as it's had in over a decade. I mean, Harbor is a guy who can be an immediate impact player for this team. So you look at him and with a returning talent, plus some of the additions made in this class via the transfer portal, and there can really be something special brewing in Columbia. It is so exciting to see. I mean, yes, Harbor's going to come here, and he's a freshman. He's going to have a lot of pressure on him. There may be a learning curve. But when he puts it together, there is no doubt in my mind that he's going to be special. I mean, that speed, at that size, how can it not be special, right? You're going to have Spencer Rattler throwing him the ball for a year. He's going to get acclimated to this system. I can only imagine what a year two would look like with Nick Harbor. And then on top of it, you might see him in the Olympics. It's just absolutely bonkers. I was jumping around. I blasted Sandstorm all by myself in my living room watching ESPN on 1 p.m. Just absolutely, absolutely crazy. Welcome home, Nick Harbor. Congratulations to all Gamecock fans. But now moving on to our basketball programs here. So starting with the men's team, Tuesday night, South Carolina lost to Mississippi State 66-51, and I'm recording this on Groundhog's Day, and it's very fitting that I am because it feels like the Groundhog's Day movie yet again, as this team is facing another rough loss and the losing streak continues. And it's just crazy because I'm going to say this again, and it's a story that we've seen play out time and again this year. I felt like the Gamecocks came out of the gates decently competitive. You know, you saw them moving the ball around offensively. I felt like they were getting pretty good shots off. And you'd see Mississippi State go on a bit of a run, and Carolina had a way of stopping it and coming back. And you saw some offensive flow. And honestly, I don't know if y'all would agree, but I was watching that first half and I was thinking to myself, okay, maybe this is clicking a little bit here, right? Maybe Lamont's system is settling in. Maybe these guys are learning their roles a little bit more. And, you know, going into the half, the Gamecocks were down by just 6 points, really felt like it could have been closer to that. Had a couple of weird plays at the end of the half. But then, just as we've seen a lot this year, the second half got ugly. State made defensive adjustments, putting some more pressure on. And for the most part of that half, you had South Carolina just out of whack offensively, not getting as many good looks as they were in the first half, not passing as much as they did in the first half. I mean, yeah, there was a brief moment in time where Carolina made a run, brought it to single digits, and you felt some of that energy coming up, but as quickly as it came, it left. For me, the story of the game was turnovers. You had 18 from South Carolina. Also, the points in the paint. I don't know the exact differential, but basically it was an ass ton of points in the paint for Mississippi State. Very few from South Carolina. And it was just equally annoying to watch and also concerning that the post defense was just that porous. All right? I mean, last point on this game, you know, something that I found incredibly head-scratching is the point differential that Carolina has at home versus away. They showed it on a graphic during the game. I don't remember the exact figure here, but South Carolina is scoring at least 10 points fewer at home than they are away, which is just so odd because you'd think it'd be the opposite. But when they're on the road, the Gamecocks tend to score more versus when we are home, we tend to score less by a sizable margin. So something that maybe we'll just chalk up to coincidence this year, but obviously you don't want to make that a pattern if you're Lamont Paris. Some player highlights from this game here. GG had 15 points. Michi Johnson had 13 points. And Josh Gray, he had 6 points but 14 rebounds. Maybe we are seeing Josh Gray coming into his own. If he really can and develop and really fill out, you know, the ceiling of his ability just by his size and strength, that would be really exciting to see. Next game for the men is Saturday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. at home against Arkansas. Arkansas is currently 15-7 overall, 4-5 in the SEC. Obviously, they are coming off of a very good year last year, but based on their record, they are clearly down compared to that season. But, you know, they're still a solid group, still a well-coached group. Arkansas scores about 75 points per game compared to Carolina's 64, and they give up 65 per game compared to Carolina's 73. So do expect South Carolina to go into this game as pretty decent underdogs. For my crow to the game here, limit the turnovers. That felt like an absolute killer against Mississippi State this last game. South Carolina, we are a team that, like I said before, all things kind of have to align, and you can't turn the ball over and expect things to align. So limit the turnovers. Moving on to women's basketball. Now, as I am recording, they are playing Kentucky, looking to keep the win streak alive. Now, after that, though, the women's next game is a huge showdown. Sunday at noon against UConn in Connecticut. Now, I don't need to get into what UConn means to women's basketball and some of the great games that our two programs have had, but needless to say, this is a huge, huge matchup going to the number 5 Huskies and looking to keep a very good season going. UConn is currently 20-2 on the year, but they are as legitimate as anyone in my mind to make a deep run in the tournament. So this is a big-time matchup, a big-time litmus test for this team, as there's a couple of big matchups coming up as we are trying to round out the regular season. So this is a measuring stick, right? You had one or two earlier the year if you're Dawn Staley. Now it's later in the year. How do you stack up against a very good, a very good Connecticut team? Now, my crow to the game here is a little different than usual. Camila Cardozo has to have a big game. Now, this is a game where our starters are also going to be matched up with elite talent. And while all of them are capable of having big games, what makes our team scary and what has made our team hard to beat in the past is our depth. So Cardozo needs to have a big game here, take some of the pressure off of Aliyah Boston, make some plays and in the post, get rebounds, keep possessions alive. I normally don't single out players in my crow to the game, but I do feel that if Cardozo is able to have a big game, it should fare well for South Carolina. Not to say that if she doesn't, it won't, but I feel like that would be a huge, huge bonus for the Gamecocks. Gonna go to my three-point play now and then get y'all out of here. Three-point play, quick and easy. Kansas at Iowa State. I'm going with Kansas. UConn at Georgetown. This is UConn men's. I'm going with UConn. And then Ole Miss at Vanderbilt. Taking Vandy. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.